Ad.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us. This is Democracy Now.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. The time is 5:58. So that means it's time for, a public service announcement. Wouldn't that be nice?
Did you know that trees provide good scenery for your neighborhood? Also, they provide shade, oxygen, and increase the value of your home. So save the trees we have and plant more.
Okay, that was certainly nice. Let's find another one, too. How about oxygen?
Did you know that 1 acre of the forest absorbs 6 tons of carbon dioxide and puts out 4 tons of oxygen? This is enough to meet the demand of 18 people for a year. Trees are very important to us, and they help us survive.
Brought to you by the students at Murphy Junior High School.
My old alma mater. Okay. Is there more here? Where did these kids come from, anyway?
Did you know that trees provide good scenery for your neighborhood?
Yeah, I did.
Also, they provide shade, oxygen, and increase the value of your home. So save the trees we have and plant more.
Run this for the whole hour? Okay, we can do it. We can do it. This is what happens when Democracy Now! Ends early.
Did you know that trees provide wildlife facilities and can raise the value of your home? They can also lower your air conditioning costs up to $175 a year. So help yourself and others by planting trees.
Okay, and one more from the folks over at Murphy Junior High School. Let's make it a good one.
Trees are great. They're something we should all appreciate. Did you know trees can add value to your home, help cool your home and neighborhood, and break the cold winds to lower your heating costs and provide food for wildlife? So plant some trees today.
Put on some trees today. Okay, you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's just about 6 o'clock. If you thought that was crazy, stay tuned. Off the Wall is next. And a good evening to everybody. The program is off the wall. And sorry for the shenanigans. There's all kinds of things happening here. As you know, I'm not going to get into it. It's really, really hot in here. But someone put a high-speed fan on the console, and the result of that was all my papers are blowing all over the place. And I'm trying to figure out a way to have everything lodged properly without it blowing all over the room, at the same time keeping the temperature somewhat bearable. So, of course, Amy didn't help matters by ending 2 minutes early, but I think we got it all settled now. Whew. Okay. Let me just make it clear, all right? We're not going to be talking about Paris Hilton. Okay? I've had it. I'm fed up. Every time you turn on the television set or open up a newspaper or a magazine, you see her stupid face. You know, you see all kinds of references to things that don't matter. And my God, it's what a waste of time the whole thing has been. Yeah, you know, she's in jail. Big deal. I'm not one in favor of sending people to jail for, you know, fairly minor things. But you know what? She was driving drunk. That's not really that minor. She was not paying attention to the rules. She thought that they didn't apply to her. And then to have the whole thing play out like it did last week, where she's actually in jail and then is let out after a couple of days because she couldn't tolerate the food. Do you know how many friends of mine have gone to jail and have had far worse complaints than that? Have been wheeled out in stretchers and are not allowed to get any kind of special treatment. So to see this happen, to see somebody with so much privilege who has gone so far in life based on absolutely nothing, to see that, I think that's what outraged the American public, the world, in fact, more than anything. I was reading some comments on this on various newspapers and blogs and places like that, and I don't think I was able to find a single comment that supported her. And, you know, I was trying to figure out, okay, how can I be devil's advocate here? Obviously, I've got to be the person supporting her if everybody's against her, but I couldn't do it either. It just wasn't possible. And I just wonder, what kind of a culture have we built here where such things matter, where these are the top stories in every newspaper, on every website, in every TV news broadcast? This is what America is known for. And the flip side to that is, what are people like this? People like Paris Hilton, people like, what is it, the Simpson one. I don't even know their names, and I don't want to know their names. What are they known for? What do? They don't do anything. They just appear on television, look all attractive, and get people entranced, and then they can go around driving their SUVs on the wrong side of the road and acting all cute and getting let out of prison. No, I'm sorry. This doesn't fly. Does not fly. I've asked many people, what exactly is Paris Hilton known for? And the answer is always something like, well, she's the heiress to the Hilton. No, that's not something you did. That's something you were born into. It's just, you don't get an answer. There's no talent, there's no skill, there's no anything other than looking a particular way, having a whole lot of money, and getting away almost with murder. So yeah, I didn't really weep any tears when they dragged her back after after that farce last week. It was unbelievable watching the television. They broke into a news story. There was something going on in Europe. Bush was over there in the Czech Republic or in Poland or something. And he was talking about the missile defense thing, which we talked about last week. And they broke into that. They broke into that story because Paris Hilton was about to get into the sheriff's vehicle to be taken in handcuffs to the courthouse. Because she somehow thought that she didn't have to actually show up in court for her hearing. She could do it by telephone. Oh, yeah, you know, we all get to do that. We all get to do that, Paris. We all get to sit at home and be on trial by phone. That's just nice and normal. So, yeah, they had to break in for that. They had to show us the whole progression of her trip from home to to the courthouse, and then I guess to prison after that, or whatever. She's probably not even in prison. In fact, what I heard is that she's in a room by herself. She's got her own room. It's like living in a dormitory. Everybody else is pretty much sleeping on floors and living in filth. Again, special treatment. I'm sick of special treatment for celebrities. Why do they get it? What have they done to deserve it? How has Paris Hilton enriched our lives? I cannot think of an answer. I mean, it's been fodder for all sorts of joking around and water cooler conversation and things like that, but there's been no enrichment. There's been nothing that has been added to our culture as a result of this. If anything, we've become dumber as a result of this constant talking about her and what's going to happen next. And in the end, mark my words, when the sentence is complete, what is it, 23 days? Oh my God, how is she ever going to survive 23 days in her own room? When that day comes, they're going to be waiting. They're going to be waiting outside the jail to be microphones set up, and she's going to be a different person. She's going to say, wow, I learned from this experience. I've grown. And now I'm a better person. Oh, and by the way, here's my latest, what, album? What does she do? I don't know what she does. Does she sing? Does she act? Does she just stand there? Whatever she does, she's going to do that, and then she's going to sell that, and it'll sell because, wow, look at this. She went through hell, and she learned from the experience. It's the greatest publicity stunt. I'm sure if any actor or singer or celebrity of any sort is a little down on their luck, they would gladly go to jail for 23 days to get the publicity so that when they get out, they can have a press conference and everybody can fuss around them some more and see how they're doing. Maybe that's why so many Hollywood celebrities murder people. You know, they get involved in horrible crimes because they're just looking for some publicity. You know, Robert Blake, O.J. Simpson, maybe the reason, it's sort of a cry for attention. And we're not paying attention to their real motives. Oh, sure, it's sad that the other person died, but let's look at the more important person here, the celebrity. It's all about the celebrity. And if they're not getting their just desserts, if they're not getting the attention that they require from us, the public, the proles out there, that can we blame them when they lash out in an effort to really get our attention? Of course not. So, yeah, I don't have the official countdown anywhere as to how long it's going to be before she gets out of prison. I keep saying prison. It's not prison, is it? It's just like a jail, like a country club. I'm sure that the cameras have been inside and are looking at all her daily activities and the things that she has to do or doesn't have to do. And it's really not so bad. In fact, I'm sure most of my friends who still live at home have it worse. So, yeah, it's not really, it's just kind of keeping away from us for a while. But unfortunately, even while she's away from us, it's in the news every day. I'm sure if I go to CNN right now, I'm going to do this. I did not plan this. I'm going to go right now. Of course, whoops, we have to use the computer here, which is temperamental. Great, I'm going to go to CNN obviously is going to have a story because, well, they're CNN, and they've got nothing to do with news anymore. The only question is how far up in their headlines is the Paris Hilton story. Okay, I'm looking on the Bush prods GOP on immigration. Okay, that's a good story. It's actually news. Deadly cheese heroin aimed at teens. Okay, that's certainly something that we should be concerned about. You know, I don't see anything at the very top. Okay, high marks CNN for not putting it on the very top of the page, but I'm sure it's in there somewhere. Wow, could it be it's not on the front page at all? I don't see it. Of course, they have so many things on the front page, it could be there and I'm just missing it. But I don't see any Paris Hilton stories. This is good. This is good. Maybe we're finally moving ahead, getting on with our lives. All right. Should I check the New York Times? All right, I'll check the New York Times. I really don't think that they're going to have something on the front page about Paris Hilton. It would make me very sad if they did. But it's a lot of show business, a lot of show business news everywhere. Okay, looking on the front page of the New York Times, Palestinian leaders are targeted in rising violence. Bush lobbies GOP senators on immigration. New York students post higher math scores. Very good. Croatian Serb convicted of atrocities. See, this is what news should be. Not that they should be going out committing atrocities, but this is what should be reported. This is really what it's all about. Okay, I'm down into the secondary section here in the New York Times, and I don't see any Paris Hilton stories. Okay, you know what? Maybe we're finally getting over this. All right. Good. All right, I'm a little satisfied now. Best thing that I saw on the webpage, or webpages that I've been browsing over the last week or so, you know the kid from The Simpsons, the one that's going, that's always saying, ha-ha, you know, that kid? Picture of him pointing to Paris Hilton crying in her car as she's getting led away. I'm sorry, that was just so good. That really was. I don't have the exact URL, but it's out there somewhere. If you go and look for it, I'm sure you'll find it. But I've described it so well. Why do you need to see it? Okay, I just made $20. Good. I made a bet before the show that I could rant and rave about Paris Hilton for 10 minutes on my own. And I did. I did. And now let's move on. Okay, I probably shouldn't be betting on the air, but it was a challenge to my integrity, and I sort of took it seriously. All right. Updates. Jury duty. Okay, yeah, I know everybody's curious how my jury duty thing went last week. You know what? For the first time ever, I served jury duty without leaving my house, kind of like Paris Hilton going to prison. I know, I'm not going to talk about her anymore. But basically what happened was, and I figured out the system. In fact, I'm going to demonstrate the system here. I was juror number A, 279-something. It was four digits. I don't know exactly what the number was. But they were calling people in basically clumps of about 300. And by the end of the week, they had only made it up to about 1,500. And so I realized that if you're 2,000 or above, you don't get to go in. In fact, they say to you, you've been credited with good service. Good service. It doesn't get any better than that. And I won't be called again for another 6 years. It's pretty sweet. Didn't have to do anything except not try to postpone it again. So that's the only, if I tried to postpone it, then I would have to go through this again in a couple of months probably. But now, there's a phone number you call, and I found out that not many places, at least not places in big metropolitan areas, allow you to do it this way. Many places you have to just show up and waste your time and sit around for days on end waiting for your number to be called. Well, you can call in to this particular number after 4 o'clock every day to see if you have to come in the next day. Now, as I mentioned, I was A27-something. This week, they're doing the Bs. So let's pretend that we're number B27XX, okay? And keep in mind that you only have to call for a week. You start on the Friday before, and your last call-in day is Thursday at 4 o'clock. So if you're anywhere above 2,000, figure by now they should be up to probably about 1,800 or so for you to pretty much feel that you're going to be called. And the top number is 3,000. So let's call the number. Okay, we have an outside line. All right, calling. Let's bring this up on the board. All right. Call the special number. Oh, I dialed the wrong number. I'm sorry. Let's try this again. And why don't I have a dial tone now? Okay, let's try it one more time. These telephone gadgets are really newfangled. Okay, here we go.
Is the telephone standby message for Tuesday, June 12th, 2007.
She loves her job.
Before reporting for jury duty, please fill out Part A of your juror summons. Answer all questions on the back, sign it, and enter your Social Security number in the boxes on the front. Please bring the entire summons with you when reporting. When reporting to the criminal court building, please do not bring any outside food or beverage. There is a snack bar where both can be purchased. Jurors B, 1, 2, 1, 1 through B, 1, 2, 6, 0, inclusive. Report tomorrow, Wednesday, June 13th at 2 o'clock p.m. to the Cohallen Court Complex at 400 Carlton Avenue in Central Islip. Jurors B1261 through B1485 inclusive report tomorrow, Wednesday, June 13th at 10 o'clock a.m. to the Arthur M. Cromedy Criminal Court Building at 210 Center Drive in Riverhead. Jurors B1486 through B1685 inclusive report tomorrow, Wednesday, June 13th at 9:30 a.m. to the new Supreme Court Building at 1 Court Street in Riverhead. Jurors B1686 through B3000 inclusive. Please call back tomorrow, Wednesday, June 13th, after 4 o'clock p.m. for further instructions.
Bye. Okay, that's the call for jurors. You know, we should air that every day. Wouldn't that be a good public service announcement? Just to call all the jurors. But did you notice she got up to about 16 and change, right? Which is further than last week at this time. Last week, I think they're only up to about 1,200. And basically what that means is it seems they're calling a couple hundred a day. If you're over 2,000, at this point, maybe you'll get called, maybe you won't. But if you're as high as I was, 27 and change, no, it's not going to happen. Most likely not going to happen. So that is, for those of you in Suffolk County, look at the forms you get. And if it's a high number and you don't want to serve, then you probably won't have to. And if it's a low number and you postpone one time, maybe the second time you'll get a higher number. I don't know if I should be giving out that information. I'm telling people how to get out of public service. I'm always happy to serve on juries. It's just no one ever wants to hear me give my theories as to why somebody is guilty or innocent. So I got out of it. I didn't have to go when I'm okay for 6 years, at least for Suffolk County. I could get called for something else. Could get called for, federal court? I could get called for the world court. Can you get called for the world court, you know, where you can judge leaders and the genocide trials? I'd like to serve on those. I really would. I'd like to haul George W. Bush into a world court and have him answer for his crimes. That would be cool. Never get called for those kind of juries. All right, a lot of things to update people on, and we will be taking phone calls, 631-632-9872. That's 631-632-WUSB. And I guess we'll be starting to take calls in maybe about 10, 15 minutes. How's that? All right. Let's try to get more calls than we did last week, because we have this whole phone system set up. We have a delay system. It's all ready to be used. All right, this is a great story. It's a horrible story, but it's a typically great NYPD story. They arrested 208 people at the Puerto Rican Day Parade, which took place, I believe, on Sunday. 208 people arrested, far more than in previous years. And the reason they were arresting so many people, they say, is because they had reports that members of the Latin Kings gang planned to join in on the parade. However, they arrested all these people that they suspected of being in the Latin Kings, but they had really no way of proving it. You see, they don't have ID cards, or some of them, I guess, wear jackets, but a lot of the people they arrested were not wearing jackets. Among the parade goers that were arrested were a 55-year-old postal worker from Paterson, New Jersey, and the college-bound nephew of a New Jersey police officer. The police, however, say that all but 10 of those arrested were gang members. Paul J. Brown, the police department's deputy commissioner for public information, said advance intelligence suggested that gang members were going to try to march in defiance of parade organizers who did not want them there. Now, get this. This is brilliant. Of the 208 people arrested, 132 were charged with gathering illegally. Gathering illegally at a parade. Only the NYPD could pull this one off. Many of those arrested spent the night in jail before being arraigned on Monday in Manhattan Criminal Court. Their friends and relatives filled the wooden benches on the first floor of the courthouse at 100 Center Street. Hey, I was in that courthouse. That's where I got arraigned as well. Unbelievable. Since the RNC, which is when I had my little episode, I don't think there's been a case quite like this, where people are just sort of sucked off the street because of suspicion of who they might be. But in a parade, this is incredible. In my case, the parade that was going down the street that I was watching was ruled an illegal parade. This was an organized parade. And they were actually taking people away for gathering at a parade. Edward McCarthy is a lawyer for the Legal Aid Society. He's representing many of those arrested. He said he was struck by the incongruity of people being charged with unlawful assembly at a parade. I was struck by that, too. People said they were being told by the police that they needed this group to turn the corner. Then, when they obeyed, the police were waiting around the corner. It's the exact tactic they used at the RNC. Unbelievable. So we'll be following that story in weeks, months ahead, as the lawsuits are filed and all kinds of other things go on as well. What else is going on? Debates. Yeah, presidential debates that took place last week. They were kind of fun to watch. I learned something kind of scary. I was watching a summation of the debates and what the various candidates were talking about. And the Democrats, this is actually an indication of a difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, which aren't that many of, but occasionally it shines through. They were talking about gays in the military and what a ridiculous policy it was. And for God's sake, can't we get over this already? This is on the Democratic side. The Republicans, however, not a single one of them believed that there was anything wrong with the current policy where hundreds, if not thousands, of people are dismissed from the military because of their sexual orientation. And the person organizing, or the person commentating on the debate, was asked at the end, is there anybody here who believes that gays should be able to serve openly in the military? And he was met by complete silence. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And then I see this story, which just came out yesterday. And this is a real classic here. Majority of Republicans doubt theory of evolution. Yeah. More Americans accept theory of creationism than evolution. The majority of Republicans in the United States do not believe the theory of evolution is true and do not believe that humans evolved over millions of years from less advanced forms of life. This suggests that when three Republican presidential candidates at the recent debate stated that they did not believe in evolution, they were generally in sync with the bulk of the rank-and-file Republicans whose nomination they are seeking to obtain. Independents and Democrats are more likely than Republicans to believe in the theory of evolution, but even among non-Republicans, there appears to be a significant minority who doubt that evolution adequately explains where humans came from. The data from several recent Gallup studies suggests that Americans' religious behavior is highly correlated with beliefs about evolution. Those who attend church frequently are much less likely to believe in evolution than are those who seldom or never attend. That Republicans tend to be frequent churchgoers helps explain their doubts about evolution. The data indicates some seeming confusion on the part of Americans on this issue. About a quarter of Americans say they believe both in evolution's explanation that humans evolved over millions of years and in the creationist explanation that humans were created as is about 10,000 years ago. It's simply incredible to me that in this day and age, we actually are having studies like this that show this kind of thing. And that we're going around the world trying to teach other people to be civilized when we're not able to get over this ourselves. Here's a result of a question asked in June of this year, which is this month. Evolution, that is the idea that human beings developed over millions of years from less advanced forms of life, is definitely true. 18%. 18% say definitely true. Probably true, 35%. Now, probably false, 16%. Definitely false, 28%. So basically, 53% of Americans believe that's totally that is true. One form or another, 44% believe it's false. I guess that means the majority of Americans aren't Republicans. Is that what that means? creationism. That is the idea that God created human beings pretty much in their present form at one time within the last 10,000 years. Definitely true, 39%. Definitely false, 15%. These Gallup polls, they can be a whole day's worth of analyzing. Basically, a separate Gallup poll trend question, which was asked in May, gave Americans three choices about human beings' origins. Responses to this question found that 43% of Americans choose the alternative closest to the creationist perspective, that God created human beings pretty much in their present form at one time within the last 10,000 years or so. A substantial 38% say human beings evolved, but with God guiding the process. Another 14% favored an interpretation of evolution, arguing that God had no part in the process, leaving a total of 52% who say humans evolved with or without God's direction. But no one's asking God. So yeah, that's where we stand. And then the other crisis of the day, somebody apparently lifted George W. Bush's watch when he was in Albania. This is a kind of a weird story. One moment, President Bush was glad-handing, is that a word? Glad-handing Albanians on Sunday, proudly sporting a watch with a dark strap on his left wrist, and moments later, it was gone. Did it fall off? Did one of the bodyguards remove it? Or did one of the crowd artfully slip it off his wrist and pocket it? Got to give those Albanians credit if they actually pulled that off. The United States Embassy in Albania on Tuesday emphatically denied that Bush's watch was stolen during his visit to the country, where he was acclaimed as a hero. The Albanian media and international websites are buzzing with video showing Bush's wristwatch apparently disappearing while he was shaking hands with people in Fush Kruj, which is 25 kilometers north of Tirana, the capital. What the local media is saying is absolutely not true, said an embassy official who didn't want to be named. People waiting on the sidewalks on Sunday gave Bush a rapturous welcome, shaking hands with him, grabbing him by the arms. How come we don't get to grab him by the arms and wrists, huh? What are you afraid? We're going to pull him into the world court or something? Isn't it amazing that Bush is not free to walk the streets in any Western democracy, including our own? But he's able to go to the former totalitarian countries that were the sphere of influence of the Soviet Union, Bulgaria and Albania. Actually, Albania wasn't really within the sphere of influence, but basically behind an iron curtain of sorts. And those countries where I don't get the feeling that much is tolerated in the way of dissent. I'm sure some dissent is tolerated, but I get the feeling that if there was a whole lot of dissent, there'd be some crackdowns. But those countries, he's greeted as a hero. The countries where you're free to march around the street and say what you think, those ones he can't be seen in public. Just makes you think, doesn't it? Okay, what else? Hillary Clinton is leading the Democrats, so this is not very encouraging news. I happen to think that she's about as bad as a moderate Republican. But yeah, Clinton is ahead by something like 2-1 among women voters. The question is, can she be elected? Democrats think so. They see Clinton as a candidate with the best chance of beating the Republicans next year. Do they think she's likable? Not really. Clinton runs third on likability. Barack Obama comes across as the most likable Democrat. Here's how he answered the question about making English the official language. When we get distracted by those kinds of questions, I think we do a disservice to the American people. Then you had Bill Richardson, who sounded firm and decisive when he said, "The first day as president, I would shut down Guantanamo. I would shut down Abu Ghraib and secret prisons. That is the moral authority that we don't have." But the key factor behind Hillary Clinton's lead is women. Clinton leads Obama by 2-1 among Democratic women. Among Democratic men, Clinton and Obama are just about tied. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see just how that plays out. I can't say that I'm much encouraged by what people are talking about. Can't even get a no-confidence motion against the Attorney General through the House and Senate. So it feels like treading water. All right, 631-632-9872 is our telephone number. And we'll be taking any phone calls on questions about evolution or politics or anything else that's been going on in your lives. Here's some people who have written into us. Our address, otw@2600.com. First, I'd like to say I agree with you. I think Hugo Chavez's attitude toward the end of RCTV was misguided and arrogant. I'd like to point out that Chavez did not destroy the television station. The Venezuelan Congress simply did not renew the license for the channel for obvious reasons. RCTV played a major role in the coup d'etat that tried to take Chavez out of power a few years ago, and they should have their license stripped from them. I also must note that the overwhelming majority of all media in Venezuela is in the hands of wealthy heads of industry, deeply related to U.S. interests and fiercely against Chavez. Well, all that may be so, but you got to see how taking a TV station off the air and replacing it with a government station can make you look pretty bad if you're trying to say that you allow free media. So something else could have replaced it. Some other community-based station, perhaps. Some brand new owners. Who knows? Continuing here, owners of big corporations should not take their... I don't know what this word is. Well, they should not use the public airways for granted. They cannot advance their own political agenda, especially a violent one, as was the case against democratically elected governments and against the public's interest. They should be able to fiercely oppose Chavez, as all of them did, and still do inside and outside Venezuela. But they should not use their access to the public airwaves to organize violent action and consistently lie. Well, organizing violent action, yes, that's easy to point a finger at. Consistently lying. Have you ever heard of Fox News? You know, they stick around, and they make the opposition stronger, I think. I do think Chavez had the wrong position on this issue from the start. He made the end of RCTV look like an executive decision coming from him, which was not the case, and verbally attacked everyone who criticized action. Chavez has a tendency of demonstrating arrogance and prepotency, but he is constantly posing as the only decision-maker in Venezuela. I think those are character flaws that got in the way of diplomacy and good sense. They were also dangerous, and it would be a shame to see arbitrary powers concentrated in his figure. On the other hand, I have to say I greatly admire him as a president and as a political figure. I think he is always on the right side of every issue, and it would be great to see Venezuela walk the path he's laying down, but under a truly democratic banner, with a strong Congress and wide participation of the people. Thanks, Chico, for writing in with that. And, yeah, you know, he is a very strong character. But how you act when you're wrong is as important as how you act when you're right. And you can sort of see the danger if you disagree with somebody and they just don't care. And they just march ahead and do what they want to do anyway. That's when you start to feel a little uneasy. I think a lot of people might be seeing that in him for the first time because of this. And yeah, it's never good to consolidate power into one person so that you're the person making all the decisions and final authority rests with you and it's not open to discussion. It's not a good thing for the leader of a country to do that. So hopefully he'll learn from his mistakes and do it differently. But somehow I doubt it. Seems very headstrong. That could be bad. Okay, dear Emmanuel, get on phone number 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Emmanuel, thank you for voicing your opinion on the anti-missile system proposed for Poland and the Czech Republic. You're probably the only person I've heard in the media actually get the point behind such a system. Isn't that scary? I'm the only person that gets it? Can't be. I mean, basically, it's the missile defense system is not all about defense. A lot of it is about first strike capabilities. And that sort of makes it a little bit different when you think about it. And the question I like to ask people who are gung-ho for this thing, okay, it's so great, let's not object when the Cubans want to put one on their soil. You know, when the North Koreans want to put one on their soil. It's defensive, it shouldn't worry us at all. And I kind of hope those countries step forward and say, yeah, you know, we're going to put this on our land as well. Let's see if they object then. I bet they will. Continuing with this letter, in normal warfare, defensive systems are routine. In nuclear warfare, a defensive system can only be used for attack. Russia has enough missiles currently to decimate any target continent, that is, with roughly 1,000 delivery systems and 4 to 5,000 warheads, depending on who you believe. And it's incredible when you think that we're getting all bent out of shape over one warhead in another country's hands. 10 interceptors in Europe would make very little difference to this kind of offensive capability, thus ABM is useless for defense. However, the fact that America is planning an ABM system demonstrates to all concerned that it is interested in first strike capability. At the moment, a first strike against Russia's silo-based weapons would still mean that a massive amount of truck and sub-based weapons would be undamaged and able to retaliate. With an effective booster stage ABM system in Europe, Russia's retaliation would be threatened in their first few minutes of flight in proportion to the amount of interceptors based in Poland slash Czech Republic and no doubt the UK shortly. I don't really understand what all that meant, but it sure sounds scary to me. It then only requires effective terminal stage defenses, the new Patriot system, those 747-based laser systems, ship-based interceptors, to downgrade an effective retaliation into something that could hardly spell an aggressor's doom and might never even arrive. Putin is correct in his disgust and posturing, as once any effective ABM system is in place, the only options available are to start building more and more missiles or to preemptively strike before the balance of power is forever lost. And I think certain Western politicians are only interested in how much money they can make for Halliburton, Lockheed, Raytheon over not turning the entire world into some huge dust bowl. Thank you for being on the radio, and thanks for being on the side of sanity. I gotta tell you, it's hard staying sane hearing things like this. It's just a shame more people in the public eye can't add two and two and get anything other than five. Thanks to Agent Z for sending that one in. And finally, this letter here from one of our readers from last week, who sent in the call sign from Canada. And yes, I did include my call sign as I don't mind it put out over the air, so I'm going to read it over the air. You're VE6CPU. Yeah. All amateur radio stations in Canada start with either a VE or VA. The number denotes the province. Okay, so you're VE and 6. You're in province number 6. I don't know what that means. The last three, some have two letters, are picked by the operator. That's not like they do it here. You can pick it here, but I believe it's called a vanity call sign then, and you have to pay extra for it. And obviously, in Canada, you can only get it if someone else doesn't have them. As you can probably tell, I deal with computers. Stephen, VE6CPU. Yes, I picked that up. Thanks very much for writing in and telling us something about the Canadian ham community. Okay, either we're not broadcasting or we're not on the Internet or nobody cares, but we're not getting any phone calls, and that's sad. I hear radio is dying. I hear everybody's listening to iPods, MP3 players, watching a lot more television, keeping track when Paris Hilton's getting out of prison. Everybody forgets to turn on the radio, listen to what's going on, especially non-commercial radio. Oh, yeah, maybe you have the commercial station on that's piped into everybody's homes, playing the same old garbage and crap. Here, you get something a little bit different. But apparently it's too different. Apparently it's too scary. Or maybe people are transfixed with fear, thinking that if they actually made a phone call, that they'd be really put on the list. It's bad enough they're listening to this nonsense, but to call in and confirm and to feedback and contribute to it, that's when you actually get noticed. And that's when the authorities start doing bad things. Well, you know what? The authorities are already doing bad things. It's time you spoke out and said something. Or maybe I'm wrong. And maybe you need to tell me that. And keep me quiet. Okay, that guilt trip worked a little bit. Let's see if anybody's out there. Good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Hi, I was. All this fuss about Paris Hilton made me think the last time I talked to you, you asked me what did Anna Nicole Smith do to, what did she do, I think was how you put it.
Yeah, I was asking that at the time, and I'm asking the same thing about Paris Hilton, and the answer never seems to be clear.
Pardon me? What was the last thing you said?
I'm saying the answer never seems to be clear as far as what it is that they actually... I know what they were born into. I know they're rich. You know, I know they look fairly attractive. But, yeah, what is it they actually do?
Well, I think if they were from the... If they switch economic stratums, they'd be having... what happened to one would happen to the other. I also think that in Anna Nicole Smith's case... she was poor. And I think that if she were a man, the arc of her life would be quite different. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger is a perfect example of it. If you're a woman, the option of being like, say, the action hero isn't open to you. You have to be like, you know, from the bottom, selling sexual favors, at the top, mm-hmm. being like Meryl Streep or Julia Roberts or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But that $20 million picture action hero thing, that's not open to her. And if it had been, if say she were a man, she could be, and she married a Kennedy, she could be governor of Texas right now. And since she's not a natural, since she's born here and not a naturalized citizen, she could be running for president right now. If she were a man, everything would have been completely different.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there are female action heroes.
Schwarzenegger, what's he done lately?
Yeah, and in fact, Schwarzenegger was in a movie, The Terminator, where there was a sort of female action hero later on, Terminator 2 and 3, I believe.
Who's that?
And Alien. There are movies where females do play, but as you say, nothing like males, obviously.
It's the same status and get paid the same amount. Well, who would be the equivalent of Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone? And that's a woman.
that's quite an image to even think about.
Financially.
Gosh, I don't know.
But I think since she was born here, I mean, there were people making commercials about changing the Constitution so he could run for president.
Yeah, isn't that something? How it's never a big deal to change the Constitution on the right side, right wing, when it's for something like that. But if you're talking about, oh my God, you want to even discuss the Second Amendment and how to interpret it,
right,
you must be against.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they're always willing to add like a flag burning amendment,
hey, right,
or
that's
English
a good
first.
Point.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Always something absurd.
Really is.
I think this the same person that you kind of said, what's the big deal about her?
Mm-hmm.
Had she been a man, she probably would be running for president of the United States right now. And since we already had an active president and a numbskull president now, she could actually be president of the United States if her gender were different.
That's true. I mean, when you think about it, yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger was an actor, was a bodybuilder, and now somehow he's governor. It doesn't really track. I can't even get over Ronald Reagan becoming president. Because
get over it either, but it doesn't. Look, there's no reason for him to be governor of California that I could think of logically.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I don't understand how. If he could be governor, then if she were a man, she'd be running for president, and she probably would win. So
you know,
I think
maybe we shouldn't be giving her ideas. Maybe she will run for president, and maybe she, could you imagine
voted
that?
For people who are just as numb and dead before, so it's possible.
President
but
Paris Hilton.
I just wanted
oh
to make
God.
That point because it's no one says that about Schwarzenegger. What's he done?
Mm-hmm.
She'd be married to a Kennedy, and she'd be running for president, and she'd probably win.
Well, you know, I said that about Schwarzenegger. I also said that about George W. Bush years ago, and you can check the transcripts, when he was suddenly the front runner in the presidential election back in 2000, or I think they were talking about it in 99.
Right.
And I was wondering, why is this guy the front runner? What has he done? Okay, he's governor of Texas. I've never even heard him speak a word, and I sure wish it was back in that day.
Right.
And how did he become the front runner? What did he do? And it seems to me like these decisions are made by other people.
Well, his father was president. You're talking about George II.
George II, George II.
Yeah, his father was president. It's like inheritance or the heir apparent to the throne.
So what does that mean? We're going to get the twins as president next time because they're heirs?
Pardon?
Bush's twin daughters. Are we going to get them as president, co-president someday?
I think a lot. If all that conspiracy stuff about the CIA killed Kennedy is true,
mm-hmm.
and I think one of the reasons it was done because a lot of people did not want to see that sort of thing. I think the next one would have been Robert, and the next one after that would have been Ted. I think it works in the liberal side too.
Mm-hmm.
I think we would have had three Kennedys in a row for president had the first one not been assassinated.
I got to put a lot of the responsibility on the American people, though, just for tolerating this and embracing it and pursuing dynasties and family inheritance and leadership roles.
Well, you used to hear people in the media say that the Kennedys were American royalty. I never quite understood what that meant.
It's like we're so desperate to have a royal family that we'll just create one out of nothing.
I don't really know anyone who thinks that.
I don't either, but I've heard that said many times.
It's as if, to me, they were rich and sort of like movie stars. But I don't even know what they mean when they say they're...
And we're fascinated with that kind of thing. Listen, sir, I'm going to get on to another phone call. Where are you calling from, by the way?
Brentwood.
Brentwood. Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Oh, how about that adult tone? Let's go to this one. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up. Okay, you got to speak, folks. That's... Maybe I wasn't clear. Just calling is fine. We appreciate the call, but when you get connected to us, engage in discourse, conversation, back and forth. I speak, you speak, and ideas are conveyed. It's not hard, really, and it's fun. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi, I'm listening, and I think you're great.
Why, thank you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from St. James.
All right. Local people tonight. That's great. Any particular thoughts on the news of the day?
Well, it's a sad state of affairs we're in. I think, we got to do our best to make some corrections here as best as we can.
So what would you do first?
Pardon?
What would you do first?
Change our elective process.
Okay, that sounds good. Like, what would you change about our elective process?
I don't know, but I was explaining to some little kids the other day that, you know, if everybody in the class wanted chocolate ice cream, and the teacher decided to serve vanilla, there'd be a riot.
All right.
It's the same thing here in this country. You know, we have a popular vote, and it gets shunned aside. We have a Congress that decides things, but it gets overruled.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
But, I mean, there are a lot of people that seem to support this kind of thing. The last popular election, they did vote for Bush, and that was after the war.
I think it was stolen, but... That's just because I think Diebold had a lot to do with that.
Well, all that notwithstanding, yeah, if there was some shenanigans in Ohio, still, there are a lot of people out there that seem to be backing this kind of thing, and that's a problem.
I know that. I keep saying all the time people need to move either the red states and make them purple or kind of pull their head out of their rear end for long enough to realize what's really going on. I kind of get tired of... Every time push comes to shove, we get involved in gay marriage.
I know, or flag burning.
A big huff puff, and then the next thing you know, that George Bush is president.
Yeah, it's really kind of crazy. Hey, I've got some bumper stickers here. Someone has passed along to me from the Peace Resource Project. Tell me if you think any of these are something you would put on your car. Wake up and smell the fascism with a cup of coffee and an upside down American flag. What do you think?
Oh, that would be a tough one.
Or how about
rear-ended?
How about this one? Evil men are in control. Haven't you noticed?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I actually saw the best one on some teacher's car, and it said, "Drunken frat boy drives country into ditch."
That's nice. I like that.
I wanted to just honk the horn and give her a good old thumbs up. But
yeah, she probably wouldn't know what you were referring to. People forget what they have on their bumpers.
Right, know which one I was talking about.
Yeah, and then here's one with Einstein's face and a quote, "You can't solve a problem with the thinking that created the problem."
Nice circular reasoning. I like that.
Yeah, well, Einstein had it. He knew what time it was. And also, there's another one with Einstein. Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I wish he was around. I really do.
You know, I think a lot of the things that we have noticed over the last maybe 8-7 years is I'm in my 30s, and I know my freedoms have gone away, my paycheck has gone down, and everything that was promised to Americans back in 99, I mean, we were riding high. The world loved us. We had tons of money. We could do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, you have 9/11, in which I was here in New York for, and, you know, you have the sympathy of the whole world ready to come to our aid,
right.
And we blew it.
Right, we totally blew it.
We blew it.
That could have been the beginning of a whole new era in cooperation and alliances and peace, but instead, we're so far behind now. We've blown so many opportunities, wasted so many lives and money. It's so sad.
I have a European husband, and every now and then we'll go back there. And I'm always amazed at how many women are running countries in Europe?
Mm-hmm.
They're peaceful.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
Everybody hates Hillary, and she's the only woman running, but, you know, it's
funny how everybody hates Hillary, because people on the right wing hate her. I'm not quite sure why, because she says so many things that they would love. But people on the left don't like her either because of those things she says. I think the people on the right just don't like the fact that she has any relation with Bill Clinton whatsoever.
See, I'm in business, and I have a theory when you're trying to mitigate between two parties.
Mm-hmm.
If both parties end up being a little pissed off and a little happy, you did your job.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true. Yeah, I wish we had more of a parliamentary system here in this country, though, where you could have more alliances with the Green Party and various other third parties that come up and actually have an influence in the direction the country goes in by winning votes in an election. Here it's all or nothing. You know, one person wins, one person loses, and there's only two people for the presidency.
I always wondered what would happen if we took the person who won the primary as a president and the person who came second close, as they had to take him as a vice president.
Mm-hmm.
That one might make some changes in things, because now you would see the people's first and second choice.
Yeah, and they might be battling each other, too, which would be kind of interesting. Sort of like in the Ukraine when they have these.
It works out better that way.
It can. It can.
In a case like right now where, I mean, Bush thinks everything he does is right.
Mm-hmm.
And something he said on the radio just got me so mad the other day. He called it his government.
Oh, wow.
To decide who's in my government. And I went, whoa, wait a minute. It's a government of the people, for the people, by the people. I don't see George Bush's name anywhere on the Constitution.
Honestly, I don't think the people care. I think that's the biggest problem. We just want our conveniences. We want gas to not cost so much.
But it costs as much as we think it does.
I know. It's
$5 a liter.
It's insanely cheap. It's insanely cheap compared to the rest of the world.
8 mile per gallon cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your choice. If you want to drive a big car and that doesn't get a lot of gas mileage, you really can't complain about gas.
Right.
Folks who don't vote and then complain.
My point, though, is that if people want change, they would not keep driving the same gas-wasting vehicles. They would be doing something different. They would be voting for different people. I don't see that happening. I see us just getting numb to it all. The wars are going on. We're getting dozens of people killed every couple of days. And we're willing to accept that as long as the gas keeps flowing and the SUVs keep getting built.
And bigger.
Yeah, and our favorite movies and TV programs keep coming out. It's really sad, but I think those in power have finally figured out how to completely manipulate us so that we don't cause any trouble.
Do you see an overall dumbing down in society? I mean, I'm 35 years old, and I've noticed it just within my own generation,
mm-hmm.
a little bit, and the one coming after me, completely.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely dumbing down. I think that's the theme of this first decade of the 21st century, rather.
Well, we used to joke that, and every now and then you'd get a television show that was really going for lowest common denominator, and now you really got to look for one that's not.
I know. Good luck with that. Even the pay cable channels are pretty dumbed down as it is. Listen, I want to thank you for a terrific call. Thanks for calling in and for
stay
listening.
Stay on the radio and keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks again.
You. Go Stony Brook.
All right. Okay, you see, now that could have been anybody calling in just to share their opinions and their thoughts, and it's amazing when people do that, and I want to see more of that in the future. We're out of time now. Can't do it anymore, but next week I'd like to hear from more people with their thoughts and ideas and debates and things like that. We'll see you a week from tonight for another edition of For the Wall, and Off the Hook tomorrow night on the other radio station. Stay tuned for the blues here on WUSB. Have a good night. Thank you.
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.